Howdy, folks. Today, we're going to talk about thinking ahead, and we're going to talk about this subject matter with some balance to it. As always, you want to try and make sure you don't take anything from what God has said and run to some sort of extreme. So, listen all the way through the podcast. There's going to be balance points that we will make. So, here's where we're going to start. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, there were great multitudes that came to Jesus, and he taught them about counting the cost of discipleship. Within this context, there's a principle that applies to our study today, even though that's not what the context is talking about. The principle is you've got to think about what's going to happen down the road. You have to have some form of planning when you go ahead and do some things. For example, in Luke 14, 28 through 32, Jesus says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." You see, you got to think ahead. You just can't jump into something and not consider what's going to happen if you haven't thought through the process. I'm going to build a tower, as Jesus said, or anything else. And you sit down and say, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I'm going to run to the lumber store. I'm going to get some concrete. I'm going to grab some wood. I'm going to do this. You lay the foundation and then you're out of money. You got to think some things through. You got to look forward and say, what's going to happen in step two? What's going to happen in step three of this process that I'm going to begin? And Jesus didn't teach this out of nowhere. I mean, God has provided us with all things pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. So the scriptures have plenty of things we're going to look at in this particular study, and we're not even going to cover everything that we could look at. But if you go back, for example, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 18 says, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war." So think about a president or whatever you might call them of a certain country saying, "We're going to go to war." He is wise to sit down with counselors and get their advice. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What's this strategy? What's this strategy? How might this play out? Do we have troops? Do we have ammunition? Do we have the ability to cover this particular point or that particular point? And all different types of thought process. Could you imagine if a leader of a nation decided to go to war and, you know, doesn't have the weapons to do it, doesn't have the soldiers to do it, goes up against a country that has a great air force, and the country that he is leading doesn't have an airplane at all that can shoot down anything or any kind of air defense? Like, what were you thinking to engage in war against this nation without thinking it through? So it's think it through, right? Every purpose is established by counsel. What happens when decisions are made hastily without looking at what could potentially arise from this, without weighing it out? So in Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord has Isaiah the prophet reveal this to the children of Israel. Verses 1 through 7 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish. From whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent? They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." Now, at the particular time Isaiah is a prophet, the Assyrians are attacking Judah. They take the 10 tribes into captivity. So this is that particular application. But to carry it further, even into the future, it's, why are you looking to Egypt for help? So when that next generation comes forward and they're going to go into Babylonian captivity, the children of Israel should have already learned in times past, God told us, don't count on the Egyptians. We did, and they failed. But yet, what they do is this. In Jeremiah 37, 7 and 8, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, thus you say to the king of Judah that sent you to me, inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire." So wait, they're trusting on Egypt again. Yeah. So fast forward, what happens? Well, the book of Lamentations reveals this in Lamentations 4:17. "As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. And our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us." You're looking to people to help you. And these people are not there to help you. Well, you've not looked at God's counsel. You've not considered the past. You've not thought, what if they do it again? You've not looked at your history. Why are you trusting in any other nation when those nations have taken opportunities to put you to shame? When particularly the Egyptians enslaved you after Joseph helped them to build up their storehouses and God had to deliver you out of their hands. Have you not learned from this? Well, you see, they don't think. They don't weigh what's going to happen down the road. What's the next thing that's going to come about? See, God's been long concerned about Israel's short-sightedness, their unwillingness to look down the road, to think ahead. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 18 through the verse 29. Deuteronomy 32:18-29. The text says, "Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn under the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devour with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beast upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, lest they should say, our hand is nigh, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, and they understood this, that they would consider their later end. You see that? They're not thinking forward, that their actions are going to bring destruction upon them. And they've even been warned, but they're not looking forward. What's going to happen to us if we do this? Listen, God had forewarned them. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20, says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy later end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thine fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Warned. Yes. But see, they have a listening problem. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29, the text says, oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. God says, he wanted their hearts to be what it wasn't. In Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 through 19, the text says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. God says, had you just listened? But listen, they don't look forward. They don't look backwards. They choose so very often, as you study the Old Testament, to live in the moment to the satisfaction of their flesh, their carnal desires. In Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation? and then the desolation which shall come from afar. To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? You see, they did what they knew would carry consequences, but didn't consider the consequences. They lived in the moment. We're going to take, we're going to abuse, we're going to offend. They did what would satisfy them in the moment without looking at what the result of this behavior is going to be. Now, you can look at all these Old Testament examples, and God has done a great thing in that He has recorded His interactions with man and judgments over the years so that you can know what God's going to do. He's going to keep His word. When He gives warning and He says this is going to be the punishment, He's going to keep His word. And we can look backwards. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we can look backwards and then we can think, if I do this, this is going to be what the consequences of my actions are. But you see, that requires thought, right? And it requires you to look forward and say, I'm going to face this particular consequence or that particular consequence. And see, looking forward is very important. In Philippians chapter 3, the saints in Philippi, as Paul is moved by the Holy Spirit to write about his walking away from the things that were beneficial to his flesh, he said this to the saints in Philippi as the Holy Spirit moved him to write. In Philippians 3, 13 through 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So hear this and think about this. The life of a faithful child of God is about looking forward. It's about reaching to the things that are forward, to reach forth towards something that is in front of you. Unto those things which are before means in front of, in time or in place. So I'm looking ahead. I'm setting my mark ahead. The life of a Christian is not about living in the moment, because what happens then is you will do what is satisfying to the flesh. And we're warned. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Looking forward is always going to have you considering consequences. If I do this, this is going to happen. If I do that, that is going to happen. It gives you the natural process of thinking about what is to come. And this applies spiritually and physically, as we're going to talk about both going forward here. For example, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. So think about somebody that is hasty. That is, they're in a hurry, right? They're in a hurry. I'm not going to think when I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to purpose and plan when I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to take counsel when I'm in a hurry. I just got to get this, or I got to get that, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Then I don't think about what's going to happen next, or potentially down the road. Some of us, I'll just speak for myself. When I was young in the flesh, I did not think about what it was going to be like for my physical body 40 years, 50 years down the road when I did certain things, playing sports or lifting things certain ways, causing injury to the body. It was, I'm young, I'll heal, I'll get better. Yeah, then you progress in age and you learn, I did an injury back then that now has arthritis set in, and whoops, man, do I wish I would have thought about that. Well, when you're young, and again, I'll just speak for myself. So when I was young, I didn't think that far ahead. And I didn't have the spiritual wisdom, nor anybody teaching me the spiritual wisdom, to look ahead. So hear this. Physically and spiritually, down the road comes back to haunt those decisions you didn't think about. Now, in the book of Proverbs, since we were just there in chapter 21, if you back up to chapter 6, think about what you can learn from ants. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Go to the ant. The ant doesn't have somebody saying, go do this, go do that, go do... What they're thinking about is the future. We need to have food going forward. But what someone does when they're lazy is they think, I just want to stay in bed. So poverty comes. Now, we're going to come back and revisit some of these points. First, let me say this. Because we've already talked about counsel right from the beginning when we looked at Luke 14, 28 through 32. Solomon, by inspiration, wasn't saying, don't get wise counsel. He was just making the point that the ants don't have somebody overseeing them, don't have somebody pushing them to do things. Their natural instinct is to provide for the future, and you can learn from that. This doesn't mean that we don't need counsel. You know, Proverbs 11, 14, the same Holy Spirit, the same physical man writing this, says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, the text says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So the ant doesn't need somebody pushing them and doesn't have to sit down and think so much. They're constantly going. When you watch ants, boy, are they just going. They're going to town. They're doing their job. The aspect that we're to learn from is that they're looking forward. We need food in time of harvest. Summer is not the time to kick back and relax. It's the time to prepare for the future. Ants know that they have to eat. They think ahead. I need to eat. Well, for us, can we expect food to just come out of nowhere? Just you open your refrigerator and all of a sudden, poof, food appears from nowhere. You go into your cupboard and poof, here are food products that you didn't put any thought towards or no shopping or anything else. No. Well, our society doesn't want us to think ahead too much. Every restaurant you see on every major road doesn't want you to think ahead. They want you to think in the moment. That's how drive-thrus at restaurants get their money. You don't have anything to eat at home. You don't have time to cook. You don't have time to prepare a meal. Let me just swing through here real quick and get it. Pizza places. Let me order it. We don't have anything to eat. Da, 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 da. Well, and because this becomes such the way of thinking, where else do you think that might impact decision-making of those who become prey to that? Well, but Brian, you just don't understand. I do. I'm busy. I understand. I'm not talking about my opinion here. We're talking about go to the ant, right? Later in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verses 23 through 27, says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever." So think about this. You're not always going to have the money. "And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for food, for enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens." Now, it's probable that if you're listening to this podcast, you're not a farmer. You probably don't have flocks, and you probably aren't growing things in the field. You probably don't have lambs. But consider the principle. You're not always going to have the money. So what do you have in your cupboard? What do you have if in an instant you can't drive through a drive-through? What's your family going to eat if there's no food in the house? Nothing to prepare? Well, I'm always going to have the money. But not only is that ignorant to a degree, you can't know for sure that you're always going to have the money. I believe God. Do you? Proverbs 23:5, "Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." In addition to that, let there be a power outage. Do you really think someone at a restaurant's going to know how to do anything without their computer and all the things that require electricity? Come on. Have you recently gone somewhere and handed somebody money and they didn't enter in the amount you gave them and they had no idea how to do the math? I've seen this way too often. If they can't do simple math, what do you think they're going to do when they have to actually function without automation? You counting on them to feed your family? We got to think ahead a little bit right here. I'm not at all suggesting it's sinful to get fast food, order pizza, or and to even do that regularly. But have you even taken thought as to what would happen if? What would happen if? Have you taken any thought? Or is the first thought about dinner when you're on your way home from somewhere, work or anything else? You see, God is teaching us, think about what you're going to eat. Plan for it. Well, I'll get some help. Let's talk about the help for a moment. One of the beautiful things that Christians have is each other. But the Word of God teaches us that help that can come from faithful Christians is intended to help us get up. It's not intended to carry us. In Galatians chapter 6, it's a spiritual context, so take the application from that. Verses 1 through 9 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So the context is spiritual, right? Verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them of the household of faith. So, spiritually, physically, can I count on my brethren? Yes. But for what? For help up. Not to ride on their backs. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says this, that ye study to be quiet, and do your own business, work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Think about that teaching. It's about providing for yourself. It's about having the effort, minding your own business, doing what is beneficial to you and yours, providing for yourself, that you don't lack anything. It's not, well, I'm not going to worry about anything, and if it goes bad, I'll just go to my brethren. Somebody will help me. Have you even thought about this, those of you that may think that way? What if all your brethren think that way? And when you come to them, they look at you and say, yeah, I was just about to ask you for help. Like, what are you doing? Are you counting on the responsible ones to carry everybody's weight? Well, the excuses start then, right? I don't know if I can handle all this. You can. Again, go back to the ants. Proverbs 30 and verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Don't make the excuses. Don't. Like Proverbs 26 talks about, in verse 13, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion's in the street. Don't make the excuses. Don't start to say, oh, I can't. It's too dangerous to go out there and do what I need to do. Or in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Finish the verse here in a moment. But listen, don't make the excuses. Here's why. You and you alone are going to answer down the road when you're unprepared, physically and spiritually. Back to Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. You know, there's even a point where Christians will have to turn you away. We'll talk about that momentarily. And the physical, the excuses will lead you to having nothing. In the spiritual, Jesus Christ comes. And you've not taken thought for the future. You've not prepared for the judgment. What do you think? Lord, I'm not ready. Give me 10 minutes. Give me an hour. I want you to hear what Jesus said about that. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, it's a parable about 10 virgins. And it's about teaching concerning the judgment day to come. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. All those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You see, our Lord's not going to say, oh, that's okay, it's fine, I give you a few hours. No, it's you're not ready. You're not going to get to go to heaven. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. And if you're a note taker, you could write down Proverbs 27:12, which teaches the same point as well. But Proverbs 22:3 says, A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Be prudent. Be sensible. Have a cunning about you. And that could be used in a good and a bad way. Here, obviously, is in a good way. Be able to think ahead, foreseeing something that is coming. And the physical. To be clear, what happens if you don't think ahead and put forth the right efforts to care for the things of your family and yourself? Proverbs 19:15 says, Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. In the New Testament, when I said, what happens if you're counting on your brethren? Well, you know what? If you're a lazy individual and you think you're just going to sit back till you have nothing and your brethren are going to pick up the slack, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, talking to Christians about Christians, says, For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That goes back thinking what was written in the first letter that we talked about earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. Let me repeat this for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, that you study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands. We command you that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Spiritually, the same principle applies. Like we saw with the parable of the 10 virgins. You know what happens if you back up to the previous chapter and read what's written right before Matthew 25, 1 through 13? Notice in Matthew 24, 42 through 51. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. If the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler of his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken. Lord, that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him with his portion the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our Lord's very clear. You don't know when he's coming? You must always be ready. This takes forethought. Now let's balance this out. Let's balance this out because you don't want to go to an extreme. You have to be able to plan for tomorrow without depending on or counting on tomorrow to come. Because here's where the spiritual and the physical can cause conflict. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16 says, Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. You can't guarantee tomorrow. So you have to be able to think, I will be prepared if tomorrow comes, but I'm not going to allow preparing for tomorrow to get in my way of preparing for eternity. Now, I want to use a context that doesn't directly apply to us today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's going to be sending them out into the world. He teaches them to lay up their treasures in heaven. And that'd be a good podcast. Maybe we'll go ahead and do that one next week. But Matthew 6, 19 through 24, he teaches to lay up treasures in heaven. There's certainly an application of that today. Point being, you can't serve two masters. And this really is where the balancing comes in here. I can't be so focused on preparing for the physical that is going to cause me to neglect the spiritual. And I can't boast like I know for sure tomorrow's coming. Anything could happen to us, or the Lord could come in the meantime. But from that, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, he told his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now this is an interesting phrase to consider. Obviously, we just looked at how many scriptures that teaches us to think about what we're going to eat and so forth, so on. But this phrase is talking about being anxious. This is where it's really profitable to take some time in Bible study to do a little bit of a word study. You know, if you can just pull up a King James Version with Strong's numbers, they're free online. You can grab eSword or Olive Tree or other Bible programs that, you know, are out there for free. And if they're not, you can look at websites. You will find that this Greek word comes, I think the Strong's number is 3309, and it means to be anxious about. To be anxious about. To be careful, to take thought. You can see, this is not saying don't plan on tomorrow. We just looked at how many scriptures that taught us that we have to think ahead, that we have to be concerned about what we're going to put on the table. So he's not telling them that. He's telling them not to be anxious. And there's a reason. Let me break away. Let me break away and give you the reason, okay? Because I don't want to forget this. Mark 4:19 and the parable of the sower says the cares of this world, that word cares is the idea of anxiety. He says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering and choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. You see, carnal anxieties can choke God's word. So coming back to Matthew 6, 25 through 34, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or in other words, don't be anxious for your life. From that he goes on, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, notice again, take no thought. Same thing, don't be anxious about saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have needed these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then again, a third time, therefore take no thought, same Greek word, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient in the day is the evil thereof. Now, I said this doesn't have a direct application today because, again, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, where this context begins, he's talking to his disciples. He saw the multitude. He went up to a mountain, was set. His disciples came unto him and opened his mouth and taught them. That's the context, okay? Well, this is important. When the disciples are being sent out to teach and preach, they're sent out, Matthew 10 and verse 9, with no gold or silver or brass in their wallets. They don't have scrip. They don't have multiple clothes or shoes. They don't have staves, which is the idea of like a walking stick. And the point is, the workman is worthy of his meat. They are supposed to depend on the people that they're teaching. Now, there is an application to evangelists today, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 14. But for the majority of you out there listening, there's not a direct application. Albeit, the indirect is don't be anxious about the things of the flesh, because that can choke God's word. Don't worry about in the sense of anxiety. But don't take that to mean I don't have to think at all whether there's going to be food on the table tomorrow. We just looked at how many scriptures that said the opposite, so you can't come to that conclusion, right? Both Old and New Testament scriptures that we have looked at teach us the opposite of that conclusion. Jesus wasn't teaching them not to think about food at all. He was teaching them not to be anxious about it. So that's balance point number one. Another balance point, learn to prioritize. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. So do your outside work first. Then be concerned about the inside. Why? Because you got to eat. You got to eat. Folks, you can't be neglectful. And then applying that principle of seek first the kingdom. You can't put the physical above the spiritual, because Jesus could come at any time. Now, third balance point, one we just talked about recently in a podcast, the undefeated champion of the world, time and chance, right? Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You have to realize that the best plan you can ever make can still be upset. So don't be anxious about it. Do what you can. Don't be lazy. And make sure the Lord is at the top of the priority list. That perhaps something terrible happens, your soul is always prepared. Now I'm going to leave you with this. What would have happened had Noah decided to hear that the world was going to be destroyed and that he would just wait till the last minute? That he would just wait till the last minute. And in the last minute, he tried to figure out what he was going to do. What would have happened? What would have come about? You see, Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Think about that word, prepared. That means he equipped, he made ready. So with balance, think ahead. Look at the consequences of your decisions. Do your best to make a plan that always has your spiritual responsibilities at the top. Don't be neglectful of your soul. But don't think that you can fly by the seat of your pants and everything's always going to be okay. It won't. Learn from others who did not act with forethought. that's what I've got today. And, you know, like I said, maybe next week, maybe we'll come back and talk about laying up treasures in heaven. But as for now, that's what I've got for you. I'm thankful that you've listened. I hope this has been a beneficial study for you. Hopefully it is profitable for you. If all goes according to plan, I will be back next week with the next podcast. So until then, thank you and goodbye.